Okay, everyone. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January 31st, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn. And this Shabbat, we read Parshat Yitro, and so we're going to study Yitro, but we're also going to study Amalek, and that they may sound like strange bedfellows. Right, because Yitro was a friend of the Jews and a friend of Moshe. Why Amalek was and is considered to be the arch enemy of the Jewish people, right? The ultimate enemy of the Jewish people. So why would we study them together? Well, first of all, the first hint that the commentaries look at is the fact that the stories are right next to each other. The story of the attack by Amalek is right before the story of Yitro. So just to get us situated and to give us a sense, if we look on page 390 in the Chumashim, and we see on the bottom of page 390 in Pasuk Chet, verse 8, we see that Amalek comes to battle and attacks Bnei Yisrael. Vayavo Amalek vayilachem im Yisrael b'Refidim. Amalek came and battled Israel in Refidim. Vayomer Moshe el Yehoshua b'char lanu anashim v'tzei hilachem ba'amalek. God tells, Moshe tells Yehoshua to choose soldiers, to choose people to go battle Amalek, and tomorrow he's going to do it. And so the rest of the chapter 8 of 17 is the battle of Bnei Yisrael against Amalek. Okay, so that is chapter 17. Now,
chapter 17.
Yeah, page 392. Yeah. Chapter 17, right? Yeah. Yeah. And then if you turn the page to this week's Parsha, which is chapter 18, Parshat Yitro, we read about Yitro coming to Bnei Yisrael. Vayishma Yitro kohen Midyan chotein Moshe et kol asher asa Elohim leMoshe uli Yisrael amo ki hotzi Hashem et Yisrael mimitzrayim. Yitro heard everything that happened. And there's a reunion, and then ultimately Yitro also not only just brings back Tzipporah, Moshe's wife, and Moshe's children, she was likely with him in Midian.
And after the marriage?
Yeah, she didn't go back to, she wasn't in Mitzrayim with them at that point. Yeah. Moshe was a traveling businessman. Oh. And so his wife wasn't with him. And then not only does Yitro bring Tzipporah and her kids back, but he then stays with Bnei Yisrael. He's very happy. He gives Moshe advice on how to better govern the Jewish people. He tells Moshe, you're going to burn yourself out. You need to have some deputies who are going to help you. And he develops this whole system of who judges what cases and which cases go to Moshe, and which cases go to other people, and then Yitro leaves. Okay, so as I mentioned before, the commentaries right away want to know: is there any significance to this juxtaposition of stories between Pilar? When you have a second, is there any meaning of this juxtaposition of the events of Yitro coming to the Jewish people, which is immediately preceded by the story of Amalek. So the fact that they're juxtaposed raises questions. And then we're going to see another series of fascinating similarities between them. We'll try to understand, maybe is there a lesson for us that we can get from this. Yes. Question? You have a hand? No? Ron?
One thing that's always bothered me about Yitro and emotion. Was Yegor trying to, at this point, trying to bring the family back together? Was Moshe and his wife having a lot of problems?
We're not aware of problems. This was a, you know, they were in the middle of a battle with Egypt. And so Tzipora was staying with her father, and then Yitro brings them back to be reunited.
I don't understand what's the question. What bothers the...
They're trying to understand if there is a significance to the juxtaposition, that one comes right after the other.
Well, he heard that he did well, that his son-in-law did so well in the battle, and wanted to come and congratulate him. And
it could be.
Have a little nachat, no?
Right, could be. Okay, so Shula's not impressed. It could be that the reason why, the reason that they're juxtaposed, because that's what happened. Yitro heard everything that happened about this event. About, first of all, we know about Yitziat Mitzrayim. That's what it says in the Pasuk, right? He heard, Et kol asher asah Elokim l'Moshe l'Yisrael amo ki yotzi Hashem et Yisrael mitzrayim.
Impressed.
And he also must, maybe he heard about the fight against Amalek. Well, it could be.
Wasn't Yitro one of the ministers in
Egypt? Yeah, Kohen Midian.
No, he was Kohen Midian.
But he also was in Egypt.
Well, we don't know from the text, but there are Midrashim of that sense, yeah?
That he was.
So how does that answer the question or deal with the question?
It doesn't answer the question. It just says that I'm not sure which side he was on.
Well, he clearly shows his loyalty to Moshe. At this point, he brings his wife and kids back and gives him.
He's giving him a lot of advice.
Advice on how to run.
Good advice.
Yeah, good advice. Yeah. Okay, so let's see some of the commentaries actually pay a lot of attention not only to the fact that there's a juxtaposition, but to the fact that there are a lot of linguistic similarities between events that take place regarding Amalek, and events that take place regarding Yitro. Let's look at them for ourselves on the very handy sheet that I gave you, which where this is this single page here for those of you following at home, this table gives us some clear indication. That there's a lot of similarities, and once you have this many similarities, then you have to try to really figure out why that is. This is a commentary from Rabbi Moshe David Kasuto, Umberto Kasuto, who was an Italian commentary, and he notes the fact that the story of Yitro is arranged very close to the story of Amalek. And by the way, Shula, this actually may relate to what you've said. Some people suggest that the story of Yitro didn't happen at this point. It happened later. But the Torah moved it and placed the record of it at this point.
To what point?
Then we have to answer that question, right? Why did the Torah put it out of order, right? There's this debate in the Torah, which is of Ein Mukdam Mukhar BaTorah, that sometimes events in the Torah are recorded not in chronological order. And if that is the case, then we have to figure out why would the Torah give us a different order. And this is one of those cases, in which case he didn't come right away as soon as he heard about his son-in-law's success. It's a little bit later, but then if that's the case, and the Torah puts it here, why? So, Rabbi Kasuto says that the story is arranged right after, very close to the story of Amalek. Kidei, you know what?
We don't have the text.
I'm not going to tell you the Kidei. I'm not going to tell you why. We'll see if we can figure out the why for ourselves. But let's first look at the various texts. Okay, so you have in front of you, on the left, are verses from Shemot, chapter 17, on the sheet. I did all the work for you, so we don't have to keep flipping back and forth between the Pesukim on this sheet.
Where?
Right here.
Oh, those in English?
Yeah, in English. They're English Pesukim. If you want to look at them in Hebrew, you can.
Some of us
right?
read English.
You could see the Pesukim, and then we're going to go through some of the linguistic similarities. What's that?
Where did we come up with Amalek here?
On, you walked in late, the previous page, chapter 17, the end of chapter 17,
okay,
is Amalek.
I started and, with
18. Right, right. You started where you were supposed to start. We went backwards a little bit.
Wow.
So, right, okay. So, Rav Kasuto says, he says, not only are they juxtaposed, but he says also there are linguistic similarities between them. So, for example, if you want to look, I should have put the Hebrew on here. You're right, Shula. But if you want to look in chapter 17, when Amalek comes, in chapter 17, verse 8, which is on page 390, the language is Vayavo Amalek, Vayelachem im Yisrael Berefidim. And Amalek came and fought with the Jewish people. And then what does it say about Yitro? If you want to look in chapter 18, verse 5, similar language, Vayavo Yitro. This is on page 394. You could just follow in the English if you want. Vayavo Yitro. Yitro came, Moshe's son-in-law, and his children, and his wife to Moshe, where he was, where they were living. And not only that, continuing to verse 8, it says, Vayishalu ish l're'ehu l'shalom. What was the purpose, or what one of the things that happened, is they each asked about the other's well-being. So Kasuto is intrigued by the similar language. Vayavo Amalek lihilachem. Amalek came to battle and to do harm to the Jewish people. And Vayavo Yitro.
What pasuk is Vayitro?
Pasuk, hey. On page 394.
Yeah.
By Avo Yitro. But Yitro did not come to do harm to the Jewish people. He came to actually help. He reunited Moshe with his family, and he's the one who gave Yitro advice over how to run them.
It's not such a remarkable
okay.
statement.
I haven't convinced you yet. Let's keep going. All right. Next, we have another similarity in Pasuk. In chapter 17, verse 9, Pasuk 17, Perek 17, verse 9, this is when the Jews are getting ready for battle, on the bottom of 390, or on the sheet. Vayomer Moshe el Yoshua, Bichar lanu anashim. God, Moshe, said to Joshua, choose people for us. Vitzei hilachem ba'amalek. Go and do battle with Amalek. So here, the language is Bichar Lanu Anashim. Go and choose people for us. And Kasuto notes that in chapter 18, verse 25, which is on page 400, we have the same root is used. Page 400, Pasuk Chavhe, Vayivchar Moshe Anshe Chayil, Mikol Yisrael. Vayiteno tam roshim al ha'am sarei alafim sarei me'ot rechamishim sarei asarot. Here, similar language, bichar lanu anashim vayivchar. But the difference is the first time when the Moshe had to choose.
What pasuk?
Pasuk tet in parag yud zayin.
Vayavo.
No pasuk tet bichar lanu anashim. Here, vayomer Moshe el Yoshua bichar lanu anashim. Right, so the first time that Moshe had to choose people, it was to do battle. And here Moshe is choosing people not to do battle, but to arrange the governance, if you will, of the Jewish people. Getting better, Shula? Okay, she shrugged her shoulders. I'm getting there. Okay, next, there's another one. If we look in chapter 17, verse 12, we see that Moshe is sitting. Here is a battle in chapter 17, verse 12. This is in the middle of the battle. Videi Moshe kvedim, vayikru even, vayasimu tachtav, vayeshev aleha. Moshe's hands became heavy. He was holding his hands up in prayer during the battle, and his hands became became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. And it says, vayeshev aleha. And Moshe sat on the
stone.
And Kasuto points out a parallel in chapter 18, verse 13, which is on page 396. Vayima macharat vayeshev Moshe lishpot et ha'am. Again, vayeshev. Moshe is sitting to judge the nation. Page 396, verse 13. So the first time, again, Moshe's purpose of sitting is so he could continue to pray in the battle against Amalek. And in chapter 18, Moshe is sitting in order to judge and to govern the people.
But those are simple things. Vayeshev, Vayoma, it's not such a...
Yes, but the fact that there are so many of them, we're going to see three or four more, the fact that there are so many of them convinces Kasuto, maybe not Yosher, but convinces Kasuto of a certain idea that the Torah is trying to get across. We'll see what that idea is in a minute. There's another one. Okay, maybe this one will be more exciting because it's not so common. If we look in chapter 17, verse 12, chapter 17, verse 12, it says, Videi Moshe kvedim, right? Moshe's hands were heavy. He couldn't keep his hands up anymore from davening, for davening. And if you look, it says, Vayakashe Yarim Moshe Yado. You're right, it doesn't say, but that's...
Wasn't that for the battle?
He was lifting the hands, like looking...
It's a symbol.
A symbol of what? Just putting your hands up? Why would that help, just putting your hands up?
That's what it says.
I'm asking you, why would that help, just putting your hands up? Right, that's why commentaries think he was davening.
To encourage the fighters.
Maybe, it could be, right? It could be to encourage his fighters, could be.
He was seen.
Excellent.
He was seen right. as the lead. Okay. They saw his leader.
That they would see that okay. There's a link between
could be.
Hashem and
it could be. But in any case, we forget what he was picking his hands up for. At one point, they came kvedim. They became heavy. Kaved. Right? And now, Kasuto notes, if you look in chapter 18, on page 398, he says, Navol tibol gamata gam amaze asher imach. Ki chaved mimcha hadavar. Same word, right? Moshe, you are going to burn out, he says in 18. You will surely become worn out, you as well as his people that is with you, for this matter is too hard, really kaved, too heavy for you. That's not so common, right, Shula?
Yeah.
The use of the word kaved. And then, again, in the first one, his hands are kaved because he's holding them up for battle. And in this time, Yitro is telling him, this
working
is too difficult.
Hard.
You're working
this
too
is
hard,
a
but...
spiritual kaved, where the other one is a physical.
Right, kaved. Which would maybe lead you to think there should be two different words. But the fact that it's the same word, right, leads Kasuto to say, wait a second. Right, these are this is another parallel. And there's more. There's more. Let's just finish the list. Chapter... 18:18 in that same pasuk, it says, "Navol tivol gamata gamahaze asher imach kaved mcha davar." Oh no, I'm sorry. The next one is Nitzav, which is in 12 in chapter 17, 12, which is on page 392. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. That's not it. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 9. Go to 9. Sorry. 17:9. Vayomer Moshe el Yoshua b'chal anashim v'tzei l'lachem amalek machar anochi nitzav al rosh ha-givah. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill. And if you look also in verse 14 in chapter 18, we have that same word. Yeah, the bottom line. Vayar chotein Moshe et kol asher hu oseh la'am vayomer ma davar asher ata oseh. You're working too hard, Moshe. Madu ata yoshev levadecha v'chol la'am nitzav alecha. And all the
Just standing
around. So again, all these parallels, and there are more. Ad bo ha-shemesh, ad ha-erev. Tomorrow, there are a number of more parallels between linguistic parallels between the story of Yitro and the story of Amalek. So this leads Kasuto to a particular to a particular conclusion about why that is. Anyone want to try to take a stab at what's, again, Kasuto, you might not, but Kasuto considers this to be significant, right? We listed like it's 10, 8 or 10 linguistic parallels between Amalek, the ultimate bad guy, and Yitro, who was a friend of Bnei Israel. Yes.
The parallel that I see is that to go to war, I understand, takes a lot of initiative and power and physical strength. And to lead a nation, it takes a terrible emotional and spiritual strength.
Okay.
It's like a war. So Moshe,
nice,
remember,
good.
He didn't want even to take upon himself.
Okay.
And as a leader, he has constantly to fight and to strive to reach his
goal. Oh, that's very beautiful. So the juxtaposition is not really about Amalek. It's about Moshe in the story of Amalek and Moshe in the story of Yitro, right? That in the story of Amalek, Moshe is leading his people in a physical battle. And in the story of Yitro, it's actually the beginning of Moshe leading his people as their leader, which is a spiritual or emotional battle. And so these linguistic connections are supposed to create in our mind the sense that they're both difficult. They both require different type of strength and skills. Excellent. That's a beautiful interpretation. Okay. That is not what Umberto Casuto said.
This is
right. This is excellent.
This is
this is beautiful. You should write it down and publish it in a book.
Oh.
Okay. Anybody else want to take a stab at it?
Then they'll quote you.
Then you'll be the one everyone gets to disagree with.
I love it.
Anybody else? I could share with what Kasuto says. He says something very interesting. He says Yitro comes from one non-Jewish world, right? Yitro comes from the Shevet Keni. And Amalek comes from another non-Jewish one, right? So he says the fact that they are...
That's just
the background. Right, they both come from different tribes or nations, if you will, and so why are they juxtaposed? It's kedei lahadgish et hahevdel hayisodi shebiyichaseihem shel shnei hashvatim el bnei Yisrael, to highlight the different ways in which each of these nations related to the Jewish people. Hevdel shi tavua amok benefesh hayisraelit, a difference which is well established within the Jewish consciousness.
You mean here is a relative already. The other one is just enemy.
True. That's a good point. That's a true point. He says, "Biderech klal haita hasitzuatzia shel ha'inyanim v'af hasitzuatzia milulit mashpia al sidur parshiot." Okay. So his point is that he wants to, that this juxtaposition is to highlight the different ways in which each of these nations related to the Jewish people. I think we could perhaps take it a little further and offer a little bit of a different interpretation, which is you have two people, Yitro and Amalek, and they each had a choice, right? They each had a choice as to, you know, what to do in their life. Right, so Yitro made a choice that he was going to be a helper, and he made this choice even before he was Moshe's father-in-law. Right, when they brought Moshe home, and they said, "Hey, this guy helped us." Right away, Yitro was friendly and helpful.
Didn't they fight? Okay, just the same with Midianim, Bnei Israel.
Later on, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's very interesting. But Yitro himself, right, took Moshe in. And that's how he became his son-in-law. He became his son-in-law because he took Moshe in and was very kind to him and very helpful to him. And he gave him a job, and he stayed there for many years. He had two children while he was living with Yitro. And then on the other hand, you have Amalek, who chose a different path, right? So it could be that even though these events may not have happened one right after the other, the Torah puts them together to highlight for us that when you make one choice, there's one outcome of what happens. The Amalek, who ends up being not only an enemy of the Jewish people, but an enemy of God, right? God wants now to destroy Amalek. Or you could be like Yitro, and you can make a different choice where you end up not only becoming a friend, but you're memorialized forever, right? The Parsha is named Parshat Yitro, and Yitro is the one who is responsible for the system of governance that the Jewish people adopt.
That's all, but because later they were fighting them.
Right, so that's a good question. What happened? Right. What happened that changed that Minyan would not allow them to go?
It was a family.
Right. It could be
family business.
Exactly.
Well, it wasn't again. I'm going all the way back to Moshe. It wasn't a family business then. Right? It wasn't a family thing then. Moshe was not Yitro's family when he first met him. He was a stranger. And Yitro made a choice. Yitro made a choice at that point to act kindly to Moshe.
But when he met Moshe, his daughter said he saved us. He was
predisposed to that.
Why Moshe was interested in marrying her?
She was there.
Yeah, I don't know. That's also not so clear. Right? There's also a lot of discussion about why Yitro came. Even though the Torah says that Yitro came after he heard everything, some say he came to join the Jewish people, but others suggest that he came only in order and this would actually indicate that this was two different nations, because some suggest that Yitro came to create a peace treaty between his people and Moshe's people. And there are certain things in the text that would lead us to do that. First of all, if it was just a family reunion, you would wonder why is it that Yitro shows up, does what he wants to do, leaves, and we never hear from him again. Right, it's not like he was always coming back to visit Moshe.
All over
Moshe.
The Torah, he never mentioned again.
That's it, right? I'll just read you from a synopsis of this from the website Al HaTorah. Moreover, he's trying to argue against the family reunion idea, that Yitro did not come for a family reunion. Yitro came for political reasons, right? He says, moreover, had Yitro come purely for personal reasons, it is not clear whether Torah would have deemed it noteworthy enough to share the story. That's first of all. If it was just a personal thing, why would the Torah tell us? Personal details of characters' lives are sparse in the Torah, and in this particular case, they would not seem to be vital for the reader. In fact, had it not been for 18:2, verse 18:2, we would never even know that Zipporah had ever left Moshe's side. Right? Only know that Zipporah left because the Torah told us that Yitro brought her back. But had the Torah left that out, we would have assumed that Zipporah was there the whole time. So the notion that it's a family reunion is not so convincing. Furthermore, neither Zipporah nor her sons ever appear again in the Torah, let alone play any significant role. Thus, if this is a story merely about the reunification of Moshe's family, why would the Torah see it fit to include it, especially as it breaks up the flow of the nationally focused narrative? That's also a good point. Now we're talking about building the Jewish people, and all of a sudden we break up the story with a personal visit from Moshe's father-in-law. So he's saying it's not a personal visit. This was a diplomatic mission. This was also Kasuto's consideration elsewhere. And Kasuto notes that when Yitro and Moshe have a meal, the meal is not necessarily a religious meal. The meal is a meal to seal the deal, right? It's like after there's like a, it's a, right?
Exactly. Right. Today.
Exactly. After you sign the treaty, you have a state dinner. Right. You have a state dinner after the deal is set. Yes. Everyone gets together for a state dinner. And if that's the case, then this juxtaposition and what I'm suggesting, I think, makes sense. Right, that these are two nations, not individuals, two nations who relate to Israel in very, very different ways. And even though Yitro did have a family relationship with Moshe, it seems that that was not necessarily the most important aspect of what he came for. He came for something else. And so it teaches us a lesson between the two. And again, I think we could extrapolate that we also, in our lives, we also have choices between how we're going to react in any given situation, right? And those reactions are in our hands. I think that's what it's trying to say. Amalek could have chosen a different path. And Yitro could have chosen a different path. But Yitro chose the good path. Amalek chose the bad path. And then we know the consequences.
Are you saying that Amalek and Yitro are related?
No, not at all.
No,
I'm saying that they both made different choices as to how to deal with and integrate with Bnei Yisrael. Yitro chose a path of a diplomatic mission to make a peace treaty. What happened to that later is a good question. And Yitro and Amalek decided to attack them and try to take advantage of them. The similarities are in the words and phrases between the two stories, which Kasuto argues is meant to get your attention and say, wow, these stories, they have so many similar words and so many similar turns of phrase. Okay. What does that mean? Why did the Torah do that? And then we've come up with our various explanations.
Do you think by Yitro coming at that point delayed Midian attacking Israel? Maybe that's one of the reasons.
Could be.
Because eventually they did fight with them.
They started. Yeah,
it could be.
Bnei
Yisrael wanted to walk through, and they wouldn't let Bnei Yisrael walk through. Yeah.
The only difference between the two stories that Amalek shows as a nation, a tribe, a nation, where Yitro comes both aspects. He's Kohen Midian. He only put it one time that he is a Midianite.
Right.
He never put it more than one time, and he always, in the text, there is always Yitro. He said such, he said such, he suggested that.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference between those two.
Right, people. There's no dialogue, right, between Amalek and Moshe.
He's an enemy.
Correct, right, he comes as an enemy. I'll just read you one very interesting other point about Kasuto, as to why he may have.
When did he live?
He lived in the 20th century.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so he writes something very interesting. He says, Kasuto portrays Yitro as a leader of the Midianites coming to express recognition and admiration to the new people, which had just emerged from slavery and joined the League of Nations. Kasuto's reading may reveal influence of the events of his own time. He wrote his commentary shortly after the establishment of the State of Israel, and Yitro's arrival likely symbolized for him the realization of Israel's quest for recognition from surrounding nations, which is very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.